This morning feels different for me. This morning feels different because I'm extremely excited about what God is going to do, you know? But I also feel the weight of this whole year and a half, right? Like when you go into something new, it's awesome because there's excitement to it. But it's also, like, the way I feel about it is like when you've grown up in a home for a very long time, and now, like, your first home. Anybody remember buying their first home? Come on, somebody. If you haven't, listen, it's a great thing. But there comes a point where sometimes you outgrow your first home, and now you got to move on. And it's different, right? It's different. Like, you've got memories in this place. And so when I walked in this morning, I walked in with a lot of excitement, but I was also hit with a lot of the memories of this place. And I remember the first Sunday that we were here was Easter Sunday of 2 years ago, right? It was March 31st of 23. And man, I remember just walking up on the place and feeling so nervous, right? Because of it was our first service. And if you know me, and can you do me a favor? Give it up for our team that puts this all together. And here's why I tell you to give it up for them, because they've had to deal with me for the past year and a half. And if you know anything about me, I'm a perfectionist when it comes to this stuff. And I like to make sure everything is the right place. But the first Sunday, I was super nervous because, you know, you want everything to go right. You want everything to be right. You know, as a pastor, one of the greatest joys of my life is that I want to make sure that when people walk into this space, you don't just have an experience that, like, inspires you. Like, my desire as a pastor is that you would have an encounter with Jesus that would transform your life. And so I just remember being here our first Sunday, excited or nervous, setting up and thinking to myself, is anyone actually going to show up in this place? You know, and so now I'm looking back a year and a half, almost 2 years in, and I'm looking across the room and I'm like, look at what God has done and how awesome he is. And listen, we're here. We are all here because of God, right? Here we are in this place. And it's full of memories. You can go to the next slide, Chuck. It's full of memories. And this space is not just a building for us. Like, we've laughed here. We've cried here. We've prayed desperate prayers here. We've seen salvations here. Come on. We've seen people getting baptized here. Real transformation and life change happening. And we've seen the baptisms. We've seen people with hope restored. We've seen people with chains that are being broken in this place. But today we celebrate and we sing the way that we do and we shout the way that we do, because it's not a funeral just because this building and our presence in this building has come to an end. This is a celebration of God's faithfulness and goodness over not just our lives, but over this church. But to be honest, we all tend to attach a certain level of emotions to places, right? Like, if you're honest with yourself, you would say that maybe you could look back and you've got like a childhood home that you grew up in. I'll never forget, about a year ago, I had some random stranger knocking on my door during Christmas. And he's like, listen, man, I don't want to be too awkward. And I'm like, who are you, bro? Like, who are you? Like, I believe in the Second Amendment, right? No, you know what I mean? But like, he's knocking on my door. He's like, yo, I don't mean to be weird. I don't mean to be awkward, but my wife grew up in this house. And I was wondering, like, as a gift for her, if I could bring her and walk her through so that she could, remember her childhood memories. And I was like, no, God bless you. Merry Christmas. Have a nice day. But we have attachments and emotions to places like childhood homes and places like schools that we might have gone to as a child. Or if you're graduated and you've got a college degree, it might be your alma mater and you've got memories at your college. Or maybe it's the hospital that your kids were born at, both good memories and, like some people we were talking about yesterday, very bad, horrible memories. And so they have a different emotion attached to a building. But here's the truth, all right? Here's the truth. The reality is that what God calls us to, God always calls us to remember his faithfulness so that we may faithfully and fearlessly follow him into the future. There's nothing wrong with reflecting on his faithfulness. There's nothing wrong with having a memory that's attached to something. There's nothing wrong with looking back at the past in order to be able to say, God, look how good you've been. Look how merciful you've been. Look how much of a provider you've been over our lives. But the problem with many of us is that we tend to get so caught up in the past that you can't trust God with your future. We tend to be so caught up with our past that it's hard to trust God with our future. But I want to encourage you, always carry with you the memory of the past. But let it serve you as a reminder of his faithfulness so that you could trust him for what's in your future. Let it always remind you of his faithfulness so that you could trust him with your future. I want to take us to the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Joshua, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now, before we do that, I want to give you some context. Up to this point, the people of God have crossed over the River Jordan into the Promised Land. This is the moment that they have been waiting for all of their lives. This is the moment that they have been waiting for since they left Egypt, came out of captivity, right? Where they left out as slaves. They wandered in the wilderness for many, many years. And now they find themselves at the point where they are crossing over the Jordan into the Promised Land. And up to this point, God has done yet another miracle by parting the waters in the same way that they had seen God do it before with the Red Sea. And so we see another miracle that God is doing for their people. But here's what happened when you read Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to open it up in my notes here because I don't have my physical Bible in front of me. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Everybody there? Let me get an amen. Praise God. All right, Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, it says, when all the nations had finished passing over the Jordan, all the nation, meaning all the people of Israel, the Lord said to Joshua, who was their current leader, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly. And bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel. That this may be a sign among you. When your children ask you in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Verse 7 says, then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to you, the people of Israel, a memorial forever. A memorial forever. I want to talk to you from the theme of looking back in order to look ahead. Looking back in order to look ahead. You can go to the next one, Shock. Here's what's happening in this story. God has told them, before you cross completely over, I want you to take 12 people, one person from each of the tribe to represent the tribes. And I want you to each take a stone and I want you to take those stones out from where the Jordan is. Now remember, God has done this miracle where he has parted the Jordan so that they could walk on dry land. And God has asked them to take one of the stones that would have been in the water and carry them out and pile them up as they cross over Jordan into the Promised Land.
And he says, I want you to carry this stone. And the purpose of this stone is so that when you have made it over, you can look back at those stones. And when your kids ask you, hey, what do those stones mean? You could point to them and say, that was from the time that God has parted the Jordan River so that we could actually get to where he wanted us to go. That points to the time where God has done a miracle in our lives so that we could continue to trust in him. That points to a time where God did something that I didn't know that he could do, where God did something I didn't expect for him to do, where God did something we thought might be too impossible for him to do. I want this to serve for you as stones of remembrance. Something that you can point back to so that you could remember that I will never abandon you, that I will never forsake you, that I have always been with you, that if I call you my people, I will be your God. And the reason why God does this is because God knew something about humanity. God knew something about us. And that is the fact that we are always, many times, very quick to forget God's faithfulness. In fact, most times we are quicker to forget God's faithfulness than we are to remember it. Many times we are quick to move on. We're quick to move on to the next challenge. We are quick to move on to the next crisis. We're quick to move on to the next season. And oftentimes, because we are so quick to move on, we treat God like that girlfriend that we broke up with, that we want nothing to do with, that we want to forget forever, when we actually should be setting up reminders for ourselves of the God that we serve. The reality is that we often forget the miracles that got us here. And I want us to be the kind of church that no matter where we are, we never forget what God has done. We never forget what God has brought us out of. Because the sad reality is that many of us are, and I'll use myself as an example. There have been many times in my life where I have believed God, where I have trusted God, where I have gone to God with anguish in my heart, and I've said, God, I need you to come through. God, I need a miracle. God, I need you to show up. God, I need you to move. God, I need you to step into my marriage. And many times, it's not that God has not answered those prayers. Many times, it's that God has answered the prayers, and then those prayers, those blessings that God has answered have been forgotten. Because we're often quick to forget. But God's desire for you is that you would be quick to remember and slow to forget. Quick to remember and slow to forget. You see, we need to do whatever we can and whatever we must to never forget his faithfulness. That's why God said, I want you to pile up these stones. I want you to make a memorial. And every single time you see it and your children ask, what do these things represent? You're able to remember that God brought us through. And this morning, we don't have physical stones, but what we do have is spiritual stones. This morning, we have evidences, proof, that God still does miracles, that God still does wonders, that God still is with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never abandons us. Every story, every testimony, every tear, every cry, every life change, every baptism that we have experienced is a stone of remembrance that God is good, that God is faithful, that God is merciful, that God can do the impossible. And we need to carry those stones with us wherever we go. They're not just a thing that we keep here in this building. Like, there's not just everything that's happened here doesn't just stay here. It goes with us so that when we look at the Ericas who was in that picture and getting baptized, we remember that she came here broken, expecting God to meet her where she was, and now she is committed and she's saving and she's restored. That when we look at people like Lewis who came from a mission after having struggled with drug addiction and not having a place that he could call home and being at a place of hopelessness and despair and burning bridges, that he could look back over his life and go, I can tell you that God is good. And that's what keeps me believing that God can do more. when I remember what God has done in this place, it encourages me for what God is going to do in the next place. When you remember the miracles that God has done in your family, it gives you hope to believe for what He wants to continue to do in your family in the future. When you remember what God has done yesterday, you remember that it encourages you and gives you hope for what God wants to do moving forward. Because listen to me, He is the same God who was faithful here as He's going to be there. The God who is faithful in your present is going to continue to be faithful in your future. It's what we call in theology His immutable nature. Now, I know that's a big theological word, so let me just explain to you what it is. It just simply means that He never changes. He remains the same forever. He cannot be altered. He cannot be restructured. He can't transform it. He is immutable. He never changes. He remains the same. So that means that who He is faithful. So who He is will never change. Therefore, the fact that He is faithful will never change. Who He is merciful. Therefore, the immutable nature of Him is that He will for always be merciful. That who He is gracious. Therefore, the immutable nature of Him is that He will always forever be gracious. Who He is just. Yes. Which means that He will forever be just. Because He never changes, it's not that He will be faithful. It's that He is forever faithful. And so fast forward to the New Testament, we get to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 14. And it reads like this. And when the hour came, He reclined at a table, and the apostles with Him, and He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves, for I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. Watch this. Do this in remembrance of Me. Again, why? Because we are quick to forget. We are quick to forget His sacrifice. We are quick to forget His mercy. And what happens is communion, in the Old Testament, we have stones of remembrance. In the New Testament, we have communion. And in the New Testament, communion doesn't just become a place, memorial stones. It actually becomes a table of remembrance. It's not just stone of remembrance. It's a table of remembrance. And every time we take the bread, we remember that His body was broken for us. Every time we drink of the wine, we remember that His blood was shed for us and was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. And every time we do, we declare hope, because 1 Corinthians tells us that we are proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. And that's what we're going to continue to do as a church. We will continue to proclaim how good God is. We will continue to proclaim His faithfulness. We will continue to proclaim His goodness. We will continue to proclaim, because listen to me, remembering His faithfulness allows us to be grateful for what is to come, or grateful for what He's done, but hopeful for what is to come. Remembering His faithfulness makes us grateful for what he's done, but hopeful for this to come. And for us as believers, what we believe is that the hope of our life is that we will enter into an eternity resurrected with him forever and ever. But that's something we could never forget. But listen to me. Just like Israel remembered the Jordan, we remember the cross. Just like Israel remembered the Jordan, we remember the cross. Because the cross is what changed everything in our lives. And the cross is what we need to continue to proclaim. For as long as this church is in existence, we will never stop proclaiming that God saves, that God heals, that God restores, that he reconciles. And the reason why that is because as we look back over the stones of our lives, I could tell you that I was such a jacked up, broken person. And I could only stand here because of his grace and mercy. There was no hope for this lost, broken, jacked up man outside of his mercy and grace. And that's something that I will never forget.
Yeah.
It's not just about what God does on a Sunday morning. But I'm sure you could look back over your life and see all the evidences of his goodness and mercy.
Yes.
So look, before we sing our song, before we sing this final song and get out of here and pack everything up, here's my question to you. What are your stones of remembrance? Because hear me, you're always going to need something to look back at when you face that Jordan. Because if it's not the Jordan, it's giant walls. And if it ain't a giant wall, it's an army that's ready to persecute you and bind you up. If it ain't an army that's ready to persecute you and bind you up, it's the demonic spirits that you face each and every single day. And you need something to be able to look back at so that you don't give up, so that you don't quit, so that you don't fall away so quickly, but you're able to stand firm in your faith and look back and say, you know what? If he did it before, he can do it again. Maybe for you, it was that day you walked in here and you might have been nervous and scared. You had no idea what you were coming into, but you came and you found a place where you could find family. Maybe for you, it's that Sunday where you came in just broke, jacked up, messed up, like everything felt like it was falling apart and there was nothing you could do to stand on your own two feet. And then you got into worship and God met you there. What are those stones of remembrance for you? And then my second question would be, what do you need to trust God in the future? What do you need to trust God with and in the next season? My encouragement to you is that you would carry those memories with you, because the same God who met you here will meet you there. The same God who met you here will meet you there. And so that's what I want to do. I want to take a moment to just reflect on the goodness of God. As you walked in, you probably found, somebody probably handed this to you. These are the elements of communion. I want you to stand to your feet and bring that out. And before we leave this place, we're going to do two things. Number one, we're going to take communion together and remember everything that God has done, but more specifically, remember the sacrifice that God has made. We're going to do what God's people has done since they were instituted as a church from the very beginning. And when we do, I want you to remember that communion is a perfect way to remember and end this season. Because it does two things for us. it helps us and allows us to have gratitude for what God has done. And then it gives us an expectation of what He will do. And we know that what He has done is He's broken His body. He's sacrificed Himself. He's shed His blood and poured it out for the redemption and the remission of our sins. And we have this eager expectation that He will one day return. And when He does, we will rise with Him, and there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more anguish, no more sickness, no more disease, no more war, no more battles, no more troubles. Everything in Him will be peace, joy, and worship. And so I want you to go ahead and open up that top layer. I want you to pull that out. I want you to just break it. The Bible says that He took the bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is My body which was broken for you, for your sins, for your despair, for your wretchedness, for your disgust, for your brokenness. He was broken for you." And He offered up His body to receive the punishment that you and I deserve. I want you to break that. I want you to take it. I want you to thank Him for His sacrifice. Thank you, Father. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for offering up yourself. Thank you for taking upon yourself my brokenness. And in the same way, it says He took the cup and He presented it to His disciples. Dear Lord. There you go. Give me that one. Thank you, baby. He took His cup and He presented it to His disciples. And He said, "This is My blood which was poured out for you." Which was the only way that our sins could be atoned. A perfect blood. A blood that was without blemish. And He bled and He shed for you. Go ahead and take the blood and thank Him for His sacrifice. And He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." And so, God, I just pray that we would never forget Your sacrifice. I pray that we would never take Your mercy for granted. God, I pray that we would never take what You did on the cross for granted. God, thank You that You broke Your body for us. Thank You that You shed Your blood for us. And it's not something that we deserved. It's not something that we could ever earn. It's not something that we could deserve. It's something that You freely granted as a gift for us, that You poured out Your blood for us as a demonstration, the greatest demonstration that there could ever be of love. And so, Lord, we just praise You as a church. May we never forget what You've done. And God, may it create within us an excitement of what You're going to do. That because Your blood was shed, we will rise with You in the fullness of life and glory. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.